Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
It's the Brad and Brit cast. Thank you for joining us once more here. Program note. If you watch us live, you're part of this in the live 1:30 Eastern contingent on Thursday. It will be done at noon.
Thursday at noon. And then after that, don't forget to flip those calendars.
And by the way, as it used to say at the end of a listing in TV Guide many, many years ago, time approximate.
I did see used to say that, didn't
I? He used to say that. Okay. I guess I should spend more time on this kind of crap because it is crap and we deal in crap.
We do.
But why don't you explain the hunger strike?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, no. Not by Cynthia Nixon, the actress.
Who cares? And not the song. Not the song by Temple of the Dog.
No. She went on a 2-day hunger strike to protest American policy on the side of Israel. And I'm thinking that one's going to be effective. That's going to work.
Yeah, I think this is the thing. This will take us over the top on that.
She is so now of a group of actors and actresses that no one even remembers who she was.
It's true.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
I'll tell you a quick. Yeah, go ahead.
This is a quick story I mentioned to you yesterday. When our kids were here, our kids being 31 and 33, or 34, 31 and 34, we were watching Albert Brooks's Defending Your Life, there is a moment in the movie where Shirley MacLaine does kind of a cameo as herself.
Right.
Talking about death and things of that sort. She comes up on a screen in the,
right.
And I said to Jane today, I said, you know what? We couldn't even stop the movie to explain to our kids who Shirley MacLaine was, wait a minute, and why she was in that movie at that time, which of course, if you're old enough to know, that was at her peak, completely crazy out of her fucking mind.
Yeah.
Every conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Afterlife shit. Yeah.
Afterlife shit. So it was perfect that she had at least the self-awareness and humor to appear as herself as a whack job in the movie. But our kids, no, I'm not going to explain it to it. It's not worth it. That's like Cynthia Nixon. Who the fuck is she? Nobody knows. Nobody remembers. What show was she in? What was she in the first round of with Sarah Jessica Parker? Yeah. She was one of the four idiots, right?
Sex in the City, and she was in some of those.
Remake? Is she in the remake?
I don't know if she was in. She might have been invited because I think.
Who cares? Who watches the remake? Yeah.
She was. Cynthia Nixon was in some of those teen comedies back in the 80s. Some of those. She did some of that stuff, and then, as you say, Sex in the City was the apex, and then she ran for. Did she run for mayor of New York or something, or senator or something?
I think governor.
Yeah, it didn't work. Governor. It didn't work out very well.
Well, I think we've set a new record for going into the gutter.
I could do
going down the middle of the lane. I think we've done it.
I mean, we were talking about hunger strikes and hunger problems. Liz Cheney's new book is called Oath and Honor. It's going to be out soon. I was just looking at it. My Audible account resets on the 4th of December. The book comes out on the 5th of December. And Liz Cheney has been making the rounds, as they say, and they've been dribs and drabs and releases of the book. And she has a story that Kevin McCarthy, the piece of shit from Ohio, had a conversation with her after the January the 6th.
Kevin McCarthy's from California.
Wrong guy. I'm sorry. I got the wrong piece of shit. I was thinking of Jim Jordan. I get my people mixed up there.
It's easy to make mistakes. Okay.
Kevin McCarthy had a conversation with Liz Cheney after the insurrection, and McCarthy says to Liz Cheney, "It's bad. It's really bad. Trump is extremely depressed. He's not eating. So Kevin McCarthy.
By the way, if you go back and look at the video, it's amazing how slim and trim Trump got right after January 6th.
So she goes, and she's clarifying, are you fucking kidding? You're going to fly down to Mar-a-Lago to cheer this guy up because he's not eating? And McCarthy confirms, oh, Liz, it's bad. So I believe that Kevin McCarthy said that. I believe that he actually told her that.
Do you want to even dignify it by asking, how would you know?
Well, okay. He's getting sources close
to you're not the- there. Are people calling him up and saying, you know, he's not eating. He's in the fetal position in the corner of a room, and we've even thought about force feeding him like they do people who really go on hunger strikes in horrible prisons around the world.
I don't know if the people close to the president were literally meaning he's not eating. He's like, oh God, it's bad, Kevin. He's down to like 5,000 calories a day. I don't know if he's going to make it that point. You know, he's only doing like half a bucket of chicken, Kevin. I don't know. It's just dire.
So, food related issues are funny to you, huh, Britt?
when it relates to him, yeah, I think it's hilarious when it relates to him. I think that anything relating to him as far as food stuff would be like the funniest shit of all time.
Do you have some of those old Bobby Sands jokes you can pull out? The guy,
yeah, I got a couple of Karen Carpenter good stuff. Those Ethiopia jokes from 1986, I can go ahead and throw a couple of those down. Those are good, sure.
This must be too early in the cycle for Trump to attack Liz Cheney as a loser. She couldn't even get reelected by her own people in Wyoming. You know, the usual crap.
Apparently his fixation today is on MSNBC. Apparently what he's going apeshit about.
I definitely am up on that story, and you know, Britt, he makes a lot of great points.
He sure does.
And his new target is the CEO of MSNBC and NBC Universal, Comcast, you know, the big cheese. Brian Roberts. Yeah. By the way, remember, he's a Nepo baby because the old man started the company, but we'll put that aside.
Sure.
Trump posted on his widely popular Truth Social account that MSNBC uses, quote, free, all capitals, government-approved airways. Of course, no, they don't.
Right off the bat.
I can't believe we have to have the same...
It's the same discussion.
...explanation over and over and over again that government-approved airwaves... First of all, that phrase doesn't exist in nature. Okay. It doesn't.
Well, many of us who cut the cord, I've got an antenna. I have, you know, a regular antenna to get over the air channels. I have yet to be able to get MSNBC. Now, where do I go for that, Brad? Is that 12.5 or is that 8.6? I'm not sure where that channel is when it comes to over the air.
I'd like to read for a few minutes out of the Communications Act of 1934, which still governs.
They don't use anything over the air.
It is, that actually is true that is what still is kind of the rule.
I believe that.
In 1934, was there cable TV yet, how did that work? No, there was no.
There wasn't
TV
even cable. Yet. Nobody had even made the
cable.
There wasn't
cable. Right. So it was designed for radio, which went out over the airwaves, and the government said, all right, we're going to have to allocate this frequency, that frequency, and therefore we do have sort of a say, so don't get on the government-approved airwaves and say fuck all the time, or we'll fine you.
But that's what it anyway says. That's literally the text. He was reading it verbatim.
I'm reading it, yeah. Trump called Brian Roberts, the CEO of Comcast, a slime ball. because he oversees MSNBC, which, according to Don Trump, is nothing but a 24-hour hit job on Donald J. Trump and the Republican Party for purposes of election interference. Election interference, of course, capitalized. It's funny because I'm reminding me of myself in my segment called Things I Promise Not to Bring Up Again, because they really don't matter. But
who did you make these promises to?
25 years ago, I was saying that radio stations, and this is true, which of course are using a government approved airwaves, were running a 3-hour daily commercial for the Republican Party. It was called the Rush Limbaugh Show.
Right.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was absolutely a free commercial. And by the way, you're not allowed to do free commercials without being compensated.
Right. You have to announce that it's actually somebody paid for this time. You have to announce right. that.
And it's not only that. Not only was Limbaugh not paying for this commercial that he was running for the Republican Party, but he was getting paid by the radio stations for the privilege of running the free commercial. So my point is perfect. It is accurate. It turned out to be true. Donald Trump is full of shit. More of what Trump wrote. MSNBC is the world's biggest contribution politically to the radical left Democrats, who, by the way, are destroying our country. Our so-called government, should come down hard on them and make them pay for their illegal political activity. Much more to come. Watch. Now, see, he got that phrase from the Today Show, remember? I think Johnny Carson used it, too. They put the slide up right before the commercial. More to come. Remember that?
They did. Yeah, I do remember
that. They did, absolutely. More to come. So I kind of respect Donald going back to the classic days of network television for more of that. So this is just another little feather to put in the cap of Donald Trump's revenge. And I'm putting everybody out of business that ever said anything bad to me. And you're all on notice. And isn't that a great reason to re-elect or elect Donald Trump again in 2024?
It's very odd because all I hear from conservatives is just how irrelevant and MSNBC is and nobody's watching it. Then why do we have to shut it down? If
I understand that. That is, of course, you can't have it both ways.
Which is it?
Right.
It's very similar to a controversy we had back in the spring, in which we had the one Bayou Barbie basketball player who was taunting the other person. Now, a lot of people in this country go, who gives a shit? Nobody watches women's college basketball. Some of those people were also told on themselves by being outraged at the unsportsmanlike conduct of the young lady. Well, if nobody watches it, then how are you watching it? How were you offended by this? I don't understand.
Trump said, the good news is that the ratings of CNN and MSDNC, go ahead, you can laugh. I know. It's so funny.
You know what CNN stands for, don't you?
Well, Communist News Network? I don't know.
The Clinton News Network. I'm surprised that all of the speeches that you see at these stupid-ass rallies and bumfuck, he says that at least like twice at each one of those, doesn't he?
Am I obligated to see every second of every rally?
No, you're not, but that's on you.
The good news is that the ratings of CNN and MSDNC, which is just a terrible group of people. Okay, the grammar on that one is spectacular. The ratings, which is just a terrible group of people, that whole NBC group and Comcast group, these are terrible people, terrible human beings. They're just disgusting. After hitting his old chestnut about hoaxes that the media has covered, you know, like the Russian hoax in 2016 that Trump has lied about for 8 years as being a hoax that he's now going to use to defend himself in the upcoming trials, saying that not only was that not a hoax, but the Russians were the original election interferers. So on one hand, it was a hoax. On the other hand, I'm going to use that hoax that really wasn't a hoax, that I can't admit was a hoax because I've been saying it was a hoax all these years to defend myself in the upcoming trials. Again, off the rails there. if you look at MSNBC and MSDNC, their numbers are down the tubes, and that's a good thing. So he really needs to. He really needs to go see a movie. You know, he needs to go see a Marvel movie or something. Get off of it, don't you think?
That's another thing. As we continue to go through these, he's got the book that came out that talked about how he talked about what pieces of shit that the Iowa Christians were and stuff like that. You know, the stuff that's supposed to upend him and really make him pay a price in Iowa. There's a ton of like Christian movies that are out there, and I've never heard him touting any of those. Obviously, those people haven't paid him to promote their films. There's a lot of that stuff out there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? We'll send him a little note with some suggested entertainment options. It'll be good for him. All right.
One of those movies that came out a couple of months ago was a Kelsey Grammer film. It was about some sort of rock and roll revival with hippies and shit back in the late 60s and early 70s.
I haven't heard about this, and I don't want to. Okay, here you go. Here's the list. Blackface, redface, save face.
Okay.
And why does Maria Bartiromo still have a job?
Oh, that's some funny shit there.
How long before artificial intelligence is truly competitive with humans? By the way, the amount of time that's going to happen, it's drawing shorter and shorter and shorter. And not because artificial intelligence is getting better, but I think we're getting dumber. So artificial intelligence just has to hold its own, and our stupidity will allow them to lap us and move into a lead.
Speaking of stupidity, let's get into this red face, black face situation, because we just mentioned Rush Limbaugh, the late Rush Limbaugh, and one of the guys that helped take over his stupid ass show is he's embroiled in this controversy as well.
So this little kid is at the Kansas City Chiefs game. This is what, against the Raiders?
This is in Las Vegas. This is at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. So this asshole kid, I'm sorry, this little kid decides to come to he's a Chiefs fan, and he comes to the Raiders game.
Right. And he's in full regalia, and he's got half his face. It's a 50-50 kind of costume. Half his face is painted red. Half his face is painted black.
Yeah.
And he's wearing the little Indian headdress. He gets shown on TV, right?
He's shown on television. CBS pans to him for a couple of minutes there. Or not a couple of minutes, but a few seconds.
Couple different times. I think that's the thing. They
that's
kept
right.
going.
Yeah.
Because visually it was pretty funny. So we got a guy, a writer, a guy named Karen Phillips. And Karen Phillips writes that the NFL needs to speak out against the Kansas City Chiefs fan who's in blackface. And why does Karen think that the kid is in blackface if he's half redface? And the answer is because they had a profile of the kid. So on a profile, of course, from one side, it would look totally black. If the person turns their head, it would be totally red. The picture that this guy saw was the blackface side. Mm-hmm. This guy used to be a writer for the New York Daily News. Now he's with Deadspin. Is that an upgrade or a downgrade? I don't know anymore.
In 2002, it would have been an upgrade. Now it's Deadspin's not what they used to be.
Right, right. And well, neither is the New York Daily News. All right. So the kid also was doing the tomahawk chop gesture, which how many places do they do that tomahawk chop? And by the way, I'm not justifying it. I find it annoying when I'm watching a game and I can hear in the background, and it's like 40 different stadiums where they do it. It is irritating.
I'm aware, obviously, of Atlanta. Yeah. I think the Chiefs do a version of it. I know Florida State still does it. I'm not aware of who else does.
Oh, absolutely, they do it because they're the ones that say, "Oh, the Seminole Indians, they love it. They're the biggest fans of this. They're just digging it."
They still got the Indian guy on the horseback that comes and he has the spear, puts it in the middle of the stadium there at Florida State University.
Right. This kid's mother, goes nuts. And she accuses the writer of doubling up on racism against the Black and Native communities because she says her son is a Native American. So that's the old, Black people can use the N-word. You can't. So because this little kid is a Native American, he gets to dress up like an Indian.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm getting out of her complaint.
And I believe that is a traditional Native American jersey that the kid has on, which was, I believe that was sewn together by hands at a reservation. Mm-hmm. And as you know, 87 is a sacred number to Native Americans.
Okay.
There's a picture. If you're watching us, you can see there's a picture of the kid. They got the profile and they got the full on shot there.
At least from my point of view, isn't it fun to talk about a stupid fake culture war issue again?
Well, this is where the fun part comes in. Clay Travis, who is the co-host of what used to be the Rush Limbaugh Show, new to three on most stations across America. Buck Travis. What's the other guy's name? Buck Sexton. Buck Sexton. That's his co-host.
By the way, still a three-hour Republican commercial.
Still every single day, not nearly as popular as it was. Really, really terrible. So Clay Travis has a right-wing reactionary sports site called Outkick the Coverage, outkick.com. And they make fun of this woman for like, it's not blackface. What are you liberals, every time you see something on a smudge on somebody's face, you go nuts and you think it's blackface. It's not blackface. Ignoring the fact that, well, the other part of it, the red face part of it, is also pretty racist. Pretty racist. Doesn't matter if it's half black and half red, quarter red, black. You know,
it's ignoring.
Yeah.
It's ignoring the fact that blackface is a broad term.
Right.
That is not as color specific as they're trying to make it.
Correct.
By playing if you do red or you do green, then that's not blackface. Or if a black person paints their face white, I know that's not from an actual descriptive form of doing blackface, but it's still posing as something that you are not.
And let me ask you something as a parent, because the kid looks like he's how do we think this guy is? 8, 9 years old?
He's eight.
Okay. If your kid came to you and goes, "Hey, Dad." Daddy dearest, I would like to go to the ball game and I would like to paint half of my face red and half of it black. Wouldn't you as a parent be, I would think you would be obligated to go, you know, we can't really do that. I'm sorry. I'll let you do this, that, and a third. I'll let you wear the thing. And with the headdress, let me explain to you that some people could see that as being like not great. So I'm not going to let you do that. Wouldn't that be an appropriate thing for a parent to say?
You know, Britt, I don't want to impose my values.
Okay.
In fact, I must tell you, our kids, age 31 and 34, were home over the weekend, and we all watched the Ohio State-Michigan game, which, by the way, by the Britt Whitmire measurement, does make it still the greatest rivalry in all of college sports. Most watched college football game in 12 years.
Well,
but okay.
I'm tired of hearing now that it doesn't matter anymore. The rivalry's dead. It's no good because we're expanding the playoffs and it's not.
It will be next year. Don't worry. This was it. This was the last.
That's so stupid.
Right. But we actually painted our faces half red for Ohio State.
Right.
And half yellow for Michigan. So and no one said a word about it. No well, one
this,
said
this
a
was
word
insensitive
about
to
it.
The Buckeye nut.
Yeah.
See, this is the difference. As a Raider fan,
he's not a nut. He's a Buckeye, and Buckeyes are not a nut. They're a fruit.
I think they're a toxic thing, aren't they? You're not supposed to eat them, are you?
No.
So, they have this place at the Raider Stadium. They've had it now for both in Oakland and in Las Vegas, called the Black Hole. It's where the dregs of humanity sit, and they have people who you've seen them. They look like they're not of this planet, and sometimes they shave their heads, and maybe they've got half of their face black, half of it silver. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not being insensitive to pirate culture. Those are team colors.
Silver people. The silver people.
You're not being, you see, when you say Chiefs and you have Indians and there's a headdress that's involved, it could be seen as being insensitive toward Native Americans, which, by the way, I'm 100% sure that story is true. I'm sure that they went to Ancestry.com, swabbed the kid, and he's totally immersed in Native American culture. Again, not to doubt the story, but I think somehow she's pulling that out of her ass. I'm just going to say that.
Which, of course, by the way, it wouldn't matter anyway.
I know, but it's just like she's trying to cover herself. I've got bona fides. I've got skin in the game. You can't talk to me. Who did this? Oh, yeah. Jim Irsay, the guy, or Robert Irsay, whichever one it is that's alive, the guy who owns the Colts, he was talking about how white privilege got him in trouble and got him pulled over and got him a drunk driving ticket. Did you see that story?
Yeah.
He's white and he was targeted, and he's rich and he was targeted for that. And in defense of that, he tried to point out, well, I've got a black mother. That was one of his things to help insulate himself against that. Well, it turns out the person who gave birth to him was 100% Caucasian. But he had somebody else in his life who took care of him who was African-American. But this supposedly, it gives him license to make any kind of racist statement that he wants to. That's what these people think. That's what these people think. They think they can inoculate themselves with this shit, and then therefore they can just be as racist as they want to be.
Let me throw out a little whataboutism here. And I think I memed this the other day. Because the first second that I heard Elon Musk is going to go to Israel.
Yeah.
And he's going to spend time with the Prime Minister, Bibi Netanyahu, and he's going to see the death and destruction in Israel that was the result of the October 7th attack, raid, ambush, whatever you want to call it. He's going to see that and have a good discussion with the Prime Minister to let us know that all these charges of anti-Semitism against him are just poppycock. Plus, it's kind of a listening tour for Elon Musk. I'm thinking, wait a minute. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of, and of course, everything does go back to Trump. Trump, when he's got nothing left, because he is an anti-Semite, will pull out the, I have Jewish grandchildren, my daughter converted, so I couldn't possibly be an anti-Semite. You know what? Those two guys, that is the same thing. Gotcha. It is exactly the same thing. Because someone who's related to you is now Jewish, that doesn't absolve you from all of the racist, anti-Semitic comments that you've made over the years, and Trump's made plenty of them.
You remember when Tim Watley on the Seinfeld show, as played by Bryan Cranston, he converted to Judaism and he started using all the Jew jokes, and then Jerry had to tell him that's not okay, it's not all right. And this
you
is
mean the one that the sorry
the problem with is Bibi Netanyahu like meeting with this guy, like currently I don't know if you've heard this, Elon Musk owns the number one conduit of anti-Semitic language on the planet. I don't know if you're aware of this. It's been in all the papers, as the kids say.
Yeah, but he doesn't mean it. He doesn't mean it.
What does he mean? What exactly does he mean? I mean, if there are a lot of people, we've heard from people. I'm sorry, I don't remember your friend who is living in Israel now. I don't remember his name.
Jeff Zucker.
When we had Jeff Zucker on.
Yossi Jeff Zucker,
when we were talking to him, and he said, well, there's a lot of people in Israel, And it's a fairly mainstream opinion that are cynical about Benjamin Netanyahu. They don't believe that he necessarily has the safety of the Israeli people in mind. They think that he's all about his own political future and about preserving his office and getting his buddies gigs and stuff like that. And I thought, well, okay, that's a little rough. But then you see this and you go, well, that I completely see why people are cynical about this guy. If he's going to just hang out with Elon Musk, who can't perpetuate enough material against Jews. By the way,
this would be, this would be about example number 46 on a list of things about Netanyahu.
Exactly.
That are questionable. So you're right, but you're not quite right enough because the guy is, a great piece. Just a little shorty in the Atlantic today. And it's got a picture of Trump and Biden from one of their debates in 2020. And it's a twofer, but it could be a threefer, which is when a politician is running for office to stay out of jail, look out. Now, I think it draws a very, very false equivalence between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, because, of course, Trump is running to put himself in a position to shut down all of the investigations and knock away all the federal charges against him. And the piece tries to make it seem as if, well, Joe Biden's doing the same thing because Joe Biden knows that if Trump gets elected, that he's going to be. And of course, the next question, and what is Joe Biden going to be charged with? And then the answer is it won't matter because when Trump is dictator, he will do what dictators do. He will literally trump up charges. It's not quite the same, but you could throw Netanyahu, and I would put Netanyahu way ahead of Joe Biden, who is kind of running for his life to remain in the prime minister's position in Israel. And clearly he thinks the road to this is to obliterate Hamas and not allow them, off the floor to ever be able to attack Israel again. And it's a great idea, but it's not quite working out the way they want. Cause if you buy the 14,000 civilian deaths, let's say it's wrong by a factor of two. Let's say it's only 7,000.
Only 7,000. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, right. There's no, this game of questioning the number probably is not helpful. But there's always the law of diminishing returns. It's already kicked in probably, but we knew the day that this happened, what the strategy of Hamas was, which was to turn public opinion as quickly as possible to, quote, who the real victims are. And now, if you bring up the fact that whatever is happening, and it's terrible, and, the forced movement of millions of people is terrible, and the deaths of tens of thousands, probably, of civilians is horrible. Now, way in the back now is this wouldn't have happened if there wouldn't have been a raid and murder and rape and death and destruction and the killing of babies and everyone else. You can't bring that up. No. You can't bring that up anymore because this has so far exceeded it in numbers. And we're really into numbers. We're really into scoreboards.
Yeah.
And but that's the Hamas goal, to put the West, to put the United States in the impossible position. And that's where we are. Of course, that's what they want. And if anybody for one second doesn't think that the reason that all of the hostages, almost without exception, except for that little four-year-old who's an orphan now, all the hostages that have been released are not Americans, then you're not alive. They want to keep the Americans as the last hope for them to fend off complete destruction, Hamas. And then they want to hold all the Israeli military folks. That's who's going to be left. You know, they can keep doing 10 at a time, you know, for another 2 weeks, and they still won't be down to the Americans and the members of the Israeli military, which brings us to, why does Maria Bartiromo still have a job?
Maria Bartiromo, who at one point in time was somewhat of a legitimate business reporter.
Again, forget that.
Many years ago. Many. It's almost like telling people, you know, Geraldo was a pretty good investigative reporter at one time in his career.
One time I had a really devastating first serve in tennis. It's been a while. I did. I really did. I was had a great serve. On TV, she questioned if Abigail Edan, who's the four-year-old who Hamas just had to grab after they killed her parents, probably right in front of her, she wanted to know whether the reason that she, an American, going against everything I just said before, was released was because her family donated to the Biden campaign.
That's right.
Okay. Because I mean, we know that Hamas, they know everything. You know, they know donor lists. They know everything.
Oh, sure. No, are we sure that the family didn't smoke crack with Hunter Biden at some point in time? Because I think that might have happened.
Yeah. This little girl holds dual Israeli U.S. citizenship. Well, we know where her loyalties lie, don't we? And she talked about this with Jason Smith, who's one of those just loathsome Republican House of Representatives geeks.
Yeah.
He's from Missouri, Republican. And he's part of the intensive and factual probe into the Biden crime family. So it doesn't even make sense if you bought in to the premise, which is that this little girl was the child of two people who donated to the Joe Biden campaign. And because of that, Hamas decided to release her because, as you know, Hamas has great respect and love for Joe Biden. And they thought that by releasing this girl that Joe Biden would go, okay, you guys, it doesn't make any sense. So crazy. It's so fucked up. I can't even describe it. It's too stupid.
I'm kind of confused here. Is Joe Biden trying to perpetuate the genocide of every Palestinian person on the planet, or is he in bed with Hamas? I can't figure out which one of those things is true. I just can't, Brad.
I don't know, but there's time for everybody to grow.
I hope there is. You either believe that Joe Biden is willingly giving weapons to the IDF to exterminate every Palestinian possible. And yes, I did use the term exterminate because that is the language that's being used, or he's sucking Hamas's dick. These are the two things that you can believe.
Hear the words of Maria Bartiromo. There's an awful story. Her voice, by the way, I can't listen to her. Her voice is so horrible.
Do you want to become like Do you want to be completely ugly? I never thought she was as hot as they said she was. I apologize. I'm sorry.
Well, she wasn't. And to quote Don Lemon, he's past her prime.
Oh my God! What an outrage! How can you say that?
So there's an awful story around the hostage release in Israel. Abigail Edan is one of the many young children released by Hamas over the last 3 days. Her story is a travesty. She's an orphan. She watched her parents get murdered by these monsters. Thank God she's been released. And then you want to know about this connection to Biden. Listen to this. We learn her family is major donors to President Biden and that her aunt actually bought Hunter Biden's art. I mean, of course, we want Abigail to get released and to be home with her family. What's left of it, and that we're all praying and thanking God for. But was she the first one because she had this connection to Biden? A four-year-old had a connection to Biden. I swear that's what she just said there.
And she didn't. I think the guy knocked her down. Like the guy didn't go along with it, right? The representative.
Yeah.
I think even he was like, eh, I can't really even co-sign that. Usually I'll co-sign your bullshit, Maria. I'm going to have to back away from that one.
Right.
Which is pretty funny. Hey, I know that you don't want to talk about it because the Republican Party is apparently having a vote tomorrow. They very quickly saw a problem with this George Santos guy. And just like Republicans do, they moved to get rid of it and take care of it. So kudos once again to the Republican Party for working very quickly.
Oh, they fast tracked this one, didn't they?
Did you hear what the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, goes, I don't know. I want people to vote their conscience. But I think this sets a very, very bad precedent. Really? That complete frauds that break the law should be expelled from Congress? Shouldn't be seated? It's very dangerous.
Johnson thinks that the George Santos isn't getting due process.
I think they're
jumping to
the mob.
Conclusions, they're rushing to judgment.
The jackal pack is going after George Santos. We just don't have enough information.
Yeah.
We just don't have enough information. God. Did you do the AI story?
The answer is 5 years. That's according to Jensen Huang, who's, you know, the CEO of NVIDIA. Not that he would know anything, but he would know. He says he thinks it's about a 5 year ramp up, but I believe it's less than 5 years because we're getting stupider all the time as a species. We are. So artificial intelligence doesn't have that high of a wall to climb to get past us. I think it's less than 5 years. Yeah, it's like global warming, climate change. And I was like, well, you know, we only have exactly 12 years to get this done. And they keep pushing the line out. And then the storms get more intense, right? The heat gets worse, but it's still 12 years. It's like Trump's 2 weeks until my healthcare plan is going to be unveiled. So let's just see if really the guy who runs the company that provides the chips that drive artificial intelligence, NVIDIA, Jensen Huang, sticks to that 5 year. Let's see if in a year from now he says, yeah, well, it's four, it's three. Mm-hmm. It's like the doomsday clock, right?
Oh, right.
Where's the doomsday clock these days? Are we within 5 minutes of midnight now? We must be closer than we were.
You should be closer than, yeah, closer than we have been in a long time, I would think.
And you know why we don't hear about it, Bruce? Because I watched that death clock in New York City. It shows how far we are. How far the national debt is. And you don't want to talk about that. You and your jackal pack.
Jackal pack. These people that are being unfair to Mr. Santos.